Hi, everyone. Today, we're going to continue looking at the topic of free will, and in particular, a video I've been asked to comment on by Sam Harris on the delusion of free will. Sam Harris himself is a thinker I have a lot of admiration for, one of those people, whether you agree or disagree with him, always has intelligent things to say. And this video is one of many of his. He actually wrote a book in 2012 on free will, where he vehemently denies the concept of free will, although tries to also argue that doesn't do as much damage as we think to things like law and morals and so on. So what is free will, and what would it mean to say that we do have free will or that we don't have free will? Well, the argument that we do have free will is that there can be situations where a human is genuinely confronted with a choice where, with all the inputs that have come in, sensory inputs, neural inputs, we actually can choose option A or option B, to hit someone in the face or not to, to scream, shout at them, or to not scream, shout at them. That's free will. The hypothesis we don't have free will is we might think we're making that choice, but actually all the inputs have already determined it for us first. Or we'll see in Sam Harris's case, maybe there might be a different argument that nothing determines it at all. And that means that the human being who screamed at someone actually had no choice. They may have felt they had a choice. They may look back after and go, I regret what I did. But actually, the way their brain was shaped, they had no choice whatsoever. Now, before we get into Sam Harris's actual argument, it's worth thinking about why we think we do have free will. And it's actually so incredible because it's so deeply a part of us that we all instinctively are convinced that we do have it. I'll give you an example. We never really think you should put an animal on trial for the cruel way in which it kills another animal, but we do think you should put humans on trial for the cruel way in which they kill another human, or potentially if they're very cruel to any other species. We think wanton cruelty, mass murder, humans should not do that. The fact that we may have instincts to, we feel that we have free will and can override them. And we feel this the whole time. We blame people, or we attribute reward to people because we assume deep inside us, it's so powerful to us, they must have free will. How? Because we experience it ourselves. And this is a point I want to make that can be easily missed and underrated. When you experience something at the core of your being, it's very unlikely that it isn't true. I'll give you a great example of this. Philosophers for a while asked the question, how do I know I exist? And I'll tell you something amazing. Not only is there no philosophical proof we exist, there's no scientific proof we exist. Nobody can prove to me, and I can't prove to you, that I exist. Right? Because proof means I start with one argument and then I deduce my existence. It is not possible to do. You can try it, but let's say, look, I behave like I'm conscious. Yeah, but, or you behave like you're conscious. How do I know that this is not just one big screen and you don't really exist? You're just, you've got a body that looks like it exists, but you're an artificial intelligence, or this is all a conjuring of my mind or some virtual world. Or you are a basic, you're like a robotic human being who has no self inside them, but behaves like they do. I have no way of proving that one way or the other. I can't prove it to you. And the amazing thing is I can't prove it to me. I can know it, but not with proof. Why? And the most famous line in philosophy, perhaps, is Descartes, who came up with this line that in English we translate to, I think, therefore I am, right? Which sounds like a philosophical argument. I think from that I can conclude I exist. That's rubbish. That would be a disastrous philosophical argument because I've already assumed I exist up here. I think. I might as well say I walk. I wear clothes. Therefore I am. If you've assumed you exist, you can't. That's the ridiculous argument to conclude you exist. What Descartes actually meant by the phrase cogito ergo sum is I am directly aware of my existence. You know, everything out there could be fooling me, but the one thing that can't be fooled is there's a me to be fooled. I'm so directly aware of it that I can't prove it, but I don't need to. It's my direct consciousness. It's my direct awareness. Everything else could be doubted, but not that I exist, at least not to me. And you can't doubt that you exist. You can doubt anything else. Free will is very, very close to that because that's actually what we're aware of. If you think about it, we're aware that we receive inputs, we get feelings, and then we make the decision. That's what we do. We're aware and then we decide. That's pretty much the only thing we, the pure self, does. From there onwards, there's a machinery that takes over and our body acts or doesn't act. And that is so fundamental to our awareness that you would need whopping proof to come along and show you don't have free will. You'd need there to be clear scientific data at an unbelievable level or a knockdown philosophical argument. The default position is so powerfully that we have free will. And if you even think about it from an evolutionary perspective, what on earth would be the point of generating an animal with so much awareness and then awareness of awareness if that awareness does nothing? And so, and especially when you get to the levels of awareness that human beings have, we, by the way, do this all the time. We trick our brains. That's how much free will we seem to have. I'll give you an example. Our brain tries to control the mind. Brains have minds, and they give the mind very little space in the animal world. They basically send feelings to it and try to get quick decisions, then move on. There's not a lot of free will. But in the human being, we have so much apparent free will that we trick our brains. I'll give you an example, right? When the brain wants to warn you, don't do something, it sends fear, emotions of fear, so that we run away from something. But we can take control of the brain. That's why we build amusement parks or watch horror films. We actually like the adrenaline rush that comes with that fear feeling. So we generate situations where we know we're not in danger, but our brain will think we are. So that's our free will playing with our brain. In other words, we're so operative of free will, and the human has such incredible free will experience that you would need something really ridiculously compelling to have any plausible doubt that we have free will whatsoever. And that's what Sam Harris thinks we do have. In fact, he thinks the argument against free will is so compelling that it actually knocks out all of our experience and all of our attitudes and all everything that we are at the essence of our being and everything we're aware of. He thinks is a philosophical argument that can destroy all that. But let's jump straight into the opening of this video where he makes his claim very boldly in his true style.
The problem is free will is just a non-starter. Philosophically and scientifically, there's no, unlike many other illusions, there's no way you can describe the universe so as to make sense of this notion of free will. The first problem is that we live in a world of cause and effect, and either our wills are determined by a long chain of prior causes, and we're not responsible for them, or they're determined by some random influences, and we're not responsible for them. And no matter how you turn this dial between the iron law of determinism and randomness, this notion of free will doesn't make any more sense. There's no way of combining chance and determinism that makes sense of free will.
So what's the flaw in the argument? It's a circular argument. What is a circular argument? That's one where you're trying to start with some established, agreed upon truth or agreed upon principle, and then you're going to deduce from it the conclusion. The circular argument is when you've already accidentally inserted the conclusion into the premises. An example might be if I say, it's immoral to break the law. Why is it immoral to break the law? Because it's illegal. Okay, but why is it immoral, right, to do something? What's immoral about something illegal? Because it's breaking the law. So it may well be, and I think there's very good grounds and arguments to say it's immoral to break the law. But I can't say the reason it's immoral to break the law is that it's breaking the law. Then I've assumed the conclusion in the premises. Or if I say something like, America's the greatest country to live in. Why? Because it's better than all other countries. Well, then I've assumed the conclusion in the premises. That's circular. How does that work in free will? Because the free will hypothesis is this. There's things that are caused and clearly not free will. There's things that are random and clearly not free will. And there's a third category called free will. That is the free will hypothesis. Just like somebody believes that there's God who made the first cause of all creation, there's going to be a point where if there is a first cause is that which is not caused nor random. It is the cause. That all the sum total of things that drove into it didn't force it, nor was the decision random. It was a first cause of a decision. You may think there is a first cause of a decision. You may think there isn't a first cause. But whether there is or isn't, you can't disprove it by saying, well, everything must be caused or random. Put it differently. If everything is just caused or random, obviously there's no free will. If there's free will, then there's three categories, caused, random, or free will, where free will is, in some sense, a first cause of a new decision. So that's the two hypotheses. Is everything caused or random? Are there just two possibilities, or are there three, caused, free will, and random? Now, you cannot disprove the three by saying, well, everything is caused or random. That's the conclusion you're trying to get to if free will doesn't exist. If free will does exist, you have three categories. You've got things that are caused, you've got things that are random, and you've got things where all the inputs come in that might be tugging and pulling in certain points, and then there is a first cause, which is not random, but you actually make the decision, initiate it, and drive it forward. That is our conscious experience that we all have when we talk about having free will. So to then say, well, if everything's caused, there's no free will. If everything's random, there's no free will. Therefore, there's no room for free will is just a circular argument and actually doesn't get off the ground. So when Sam Harris comes along and others and says, actually, everything we experience and the entire predication of not just our experiences, but the way we look at everybody and everything is wrong, And then we discover the philosophical argument he tries to pick is in fact missing. It's circular. It doesn't really get off the ground. Then we realize that there's nothing out there philosophically to challenge the basic core identity of our fundamental experience, that we are free will beings who can shape collectively and individually our destiny. And while sometimes we wish we didn't have free will, because that would absolve us from responsibility, real human greatness comes when we realize we do. We don't need to be perfect, but we try our best, and together we can use our free will to build a better world.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for watching. If you enjoyed what you saw, please click on the like and subscribe and hit the notification button below. Thanks so much.